Tonight, Amazon's set-top box to ship with a few surprises inside. Disney in talks to buy Maker Studios. New Google Docs add-ons and what might come with Apple iOS 8. Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 41 for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. This episode of Tech News Tonight is brought to you by iFixit, who make electronics repairs easy with all the parts and tools you'll need, plus free repair guides. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to ifixit.com/twit and enter the code TN2 at checkout. I'm Sarah Lane, and let's get right to the tech feed. GigaOm is reporting sources that say Amazon's upcoming set-top box will not only be a Roku and Apple TV competitor, but will also include apps for direct content competitors like Netflix and Hulu Plus. Sources also say the yet unnamed device will ship with a traditional remote control, but that Amazon is also registered to use the Dial multi-screen protocol, which would allow users to launch streams from services like Amazon Prime Instant Video and Netflix straight from their phones. Amazon is said to be using Android as the foundation for its streaming service, but a forked version, not unlike its Kindle Fire tablet. In the ongoing saga of over-the-air broadcast service Aereo versus the network, CBS CEO Leslie Moonves warned today that the network could be delivered solely via the internet if Aereo's model is ruled legal. Moonves said, quote, "If Aereo should work, if they should win, which we don't think is going to happen, we could go OTT with CBS. If the government wants to give them permission to steal our signal, then we will come up with some other way to get them our content and so get paid for it." Aereo argues that its set-top box set up with a one antenna per user is indeed legal, but broadcasters like CBS claim the service violates copyright. The case is headed to the Supreme Court next month. Meanwhile, Recode sources are also talking. They're telling the publication that Disney is in talks to purchase YouTube network Maker Studios, which would value Maker at least $500 million. If the deal goes through, it would be the largest deal of a traditional media company picking up a network built on the YouTube platform. Maker now says that it generates 5.5 billion video views per month, almost all of which take place on YouTube. Google is taking steps towards a developer ecosystem for Google Docs by launching an add-on store for its spreadsheet and word processor apps. The store currently features about 50 add-ons, and Google says more are coming in the near future. Launch partners include MailChimp, which lets you send customized emails from Google Docs, Letterfeed for tracking changes, PandaDoc for electronic signatures, and Uber Conference to integrate its conference calls into Docs. Google also updated its Chrome Web Store today to allow developers to use the store to offer free trials for packaged apps, which are able to run offline. Devs can now also sell Chrome extensions and themes. Earlier today, Twitter, along with services that rely on its API, suffered an outage. In place of the fail whale of yesteryear, visitors to Twitter.com and its mobile apps were greeted with a message that the service was down for maintenance, along with an image of an ice cream cone telling a caterpillar, "It's cool. I can chill." The outage just so happened to occur during Twitter co-founder Biz Stone's talk at the South by Southwest conference. Earlier this month, Twitter also suffered a brief outage during the Academy Awards after show host Ellen DeGeneres posted a group selfie that became the most retweeted image of all time. Coming up, the creator of Flappy Bird is possibly back with new apps and the possible return of that famous game. And up next, Mark Gurman from 9 to 5 Mac is here to talk about the changes we might be able to see with iOS 8. But first, let's take a moment to thank iFixit for sponsoring this episode of Tech News Tonight. They're the makers of the Pro Tech Toolkit, which contains 70 tools to help you with almost any repair or any project. It includes iFixit's 54-bit driver kit with standard and specialty and security bits, safe precision tweezers, an anti-static wrist strap, and an opening tools to get inside any phone, any notebook, any tablet, even a game console. It's lightweight, it's compact, it's durable, it's the gold standard for how electronics work, from garage hackers to the CIA, even the FBI. And iFixit's unique tools are used by repair technicians everywhere. With iFixit, you can fix it yourself. Visit iFixit.com/twit for all the repair parts and tools you'll need, plus free repair guides. Enter the code TN2 at checkout to save $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. That's iFixit.com/twit and use the code TN2. All right, I am joined now by Mark Gurman, the senior editor over at 925 Mac, who wrote up a nice little iOS 8 story that got a lot of people talking this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. All right, so I know that the big focus, as sources have told you, is that it is a big maps push for iOS 8. What are we looking at?
Right, so one of the new headline features in iOS 8, which will be introduced as the new software for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch later this year, is a new Maps application. So the backstory is back in 2012 with iOS 6, Apple swapped the old Google Maps app for one that is based on Apple data. And, you know, that app has been very flawed. Some Apple executives were pushed out of the company because of it. And while they changed the design of Maps last year with the new iOS 7, iOS 8 is really going to focus on amending some of the issues customers have been experiencing over the past 1.5 years with Apple Maps. So we're hearing there's going to be improved data, new points of interest, and this new public transportation mode.
Well, and they've acquired several services. Embark, Hopstop are a couple that are transit-based services, and in a lot of certainly urban areas, very well liked. How do you think those will be integrated into Apple Maps? Will they remain standalone services at all, or is this all going to be one product?
It's going to be one product. Within the app, there's going to be, just like you have a driving directions mode and a walking directions mode, there's going to be a new transit directions mode. And what that's going to do is it's going to take all the data that Apple has acquired to make this transit service. So it's going to allow people to have easy access for getting on buses, trains, subways, or finding places like airports.
What other features are we expecting to see in iOS 8? Indoor mapping views was something that you mentioned.
Right. So Apple is working on a lot of future stuff for Maps besides transit. And this new data set, those will come first with iOS 8, but they're also working on some indoor mapping functionality, which means that if you go to a monument, a museum, or a notable building, this Maps application will be able to take you through the building, maybe show you points of interest within those grounds. I don't know if it will be ready in time for iOS 8, but it's certainly being worked on. In today's story, we also talked about how they're testing some augmented reality tools, which means you could use the camera on the back of your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch to, you know, wave your phone around a street and you can see overlaid graphics of nearby points of interest.
With iOS 7, many people now feel that it was rushed. Certainly it had a great different flat look. Well, I guess not everybody thought it was great, but it was certainly different, but might not have been ready for prime time. Of course, we got iOS 7 to the public yesterday. Do you worry that iOS 8 could have the same issues?
I understand. Like you said, lots of people feel iOS 7 is rushed, and it certainly feels that way. But I don't feel that iOS 8 will come out the same way. I don't think it's going to seem like a rushed product in terms of the polish, fit and finish, and speed. I think that Apple has, you know, as they showed yesterday with the 7.1 release, rectified a lot of the performance issues, and with 8, they're just going to build on top of that. So I wouldn't fear for any issues of the iOS 7 sort for this next update.
Well, that's a relief. Mark Gurman, thank you so much for talking with us a little bit about what we can expect, hopefully, with iOS 8, which, if all goes well, we'll be shipped bug-free later this year. Tell folks where they can follow your work online.
They can follow my work on my Twitter, which is at Mark Gurman, and at 925mac.com. And I'll have some more iOS 8 stuff up in the coming days. So stay tuned for that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Finally, just over a month after Flappy Bird creator Dong Nguyen pulled his wildly popular app from Apple and Google's stores, he tells Rolling Stone in an interview that he's considering bringing Flappy Bird back. Nguyen says if that happens, it'll come with a warning that implores players to take a break. Last month, the developer said that It was addictive qualities of the game of why he ended up taking it down. Nguyen also reveals that the game's difficulty was influenced by, quote, one of the most massacre analog creations ever, paddleball. Well, that is it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2. Write us at tn2@twit.tv. Our next newscast is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I'm Sarah Lane. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.